Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. About a year ago on the show, we met Jessica and Richard Johnson of Oxford, Maryland.
Once you cast off the dock lines and head out to sea, you have to be pretty self-sufficient. So it means having everything on board that you're going to need.
They were getting ready for a major trip, a sailing expedition that would eventually take them halfway around the world, all the way to New Zealand. But before they left, we gave them some recording equipment, and each month they sent us back audio from their adventures.
5 to 35 knots, diminishing to 20 to 30 knots. Sea 7 to 12 feet.
Except so can I
fly? That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Like a stingray under the water.
Johnsons recently returned home, and as they settle back into life on dry land, they join me in Coastal Connection's Tara Boyle one last time to recap their voyage and the lessons they learned in their months at sea. Richard, Jessica, welcome.
Welcome. Good to see you again.
Thanks, Brian. Good to see you.
It's so nice to see you guys. We've been listening and following your journey. I guess, first, what's it like being home? Is there any feelings of culture shock, even though we're sitting in your breakfast nook here?
There's plenty of news on the radio, and being connected again to what's happening in the world is always good, if not sometimes depressing. But no, it's great to be home. It's great to be in the Chesapeake Bay. And yeah.
Is there something for you, Jessica, when you get home after a long trip that it's a feeling of normalcy, that you're doing something that, you know, in your house or in your kitchen that you didn't get a chance to do when you were on the boat? Is there anything like that?
Well, I guess, you know, here in the house, we're doing things without some of the concerns that you have on the boat. So I'm not always thinking about, okay, is the anchor dragging? What's the weather going to do? I can just sort of go about my day-to-day routines without considering all of those things. But in some ways, it's more difficult being here because on the boat, our life is much more consolidated. Everything is right there in reach, and all our food, all our, you know, the family, everyone's there. And here, things tend to get a bit more scattered.
Over the past year, one of the biggest things that I heard from listeners who would stop me and say, gosh, I caught the latest, you know, episode or Elsie Diary. And it amazes me that all four of them, you know, husband, wife, two kids, are all in a small area on a boat traveling the world together. People would just seem to say, I wonder if my family could do that, even for a month, let alone a year. What's it really like to be out there every day in close quarters with your family?
Well, I think there was a bit of settling in for the girls. They, of course, miss their friends and miss some of what they did in regular school. But after a few months, we really got into a great routine with homeschooling, with traveling together. And I think overall, it's been a really positive experience for our family. I can see where we've gotten closer to each other and have really enjoyed our time together.
Mm-hmm. And you incorporated the places you visited into their lessons, right? How did you do that?
Well, we tried to. When we were approaching Central America, we did Spanish. As we went to French Polynesia, we added some just basic French to our class lessons. We did some history. Each of the girls kept a journal, and before we would arrive in a new country or island, they would add to their journal, you know, the currency, the religions, the flag, the language, and sort of learn ahead of time about that country.
I want to play a snippet of tape from the beginning of your journey as you were getting ready for everything. Let's play that real quick.
Well, I'm looking around the bridge deckhouse right now, and even though we're only about 10 days away from departure, it doesn't exactly look like a boat ready to go to sea. It pretty much works out that it all just kind of comes down to the last minute.
So is there anything, as you listen to that clip now, and I guess hindsight being 2020, that you wish you would have known or prepared for before? Like, if you could go back in time and tell yourself, hey, you really should pack this, or more of this, or maybe less of this.
Well, you can never get enough food on board, and especially the foods that everyone's favorite, that you're accustomed to. Oh, well.
Trader Joe's.
Yeah, we ran out of peanut butter and Nutella. pretty quickly. Fresh milk, of course, we miss, that has its own limitations. But you put as much as you can, and then you make the best of it. We tried to get as much food as we could to get us to Panama. Otherwise, the boat did great, and we had all the provisions that we could fit, and it worked out well.
We did run short on books, reading books for the girls. They both just started reading like crazy once we got into the Pacific and we had longer passages. And so we would get to ports and we would seek out the book swaps. But we found now with Kindles, the book swaps are now getting a bit slim and a bit tired because more people are, you know, doing electronic books on boats.
How much of your trip was sort of that old adage of you have to prepare for Murphy's Law, you know, because what can go wrong inevitably sometimes does go wrong. As you mentioned that, you know, the indirect things that happen over the course of a trip that you don't prepare for, was there anything that happened as you were approaching an island or trying to leave an island where you thought, how are we going to figure this problem out? Because, you know, when we listen to the tape, it all is this wonderful, seamless, you know, journey. But I guess, was there anything behind the scenes that happened where you look back on it now and you think, well, we got lucky there?
The difficulties we had, it is the normal hardships of the motion and living on a boat at sea, but most of the difficulties that we didn't anticipate were around official paperwork and getting people on and off the boat. Every port stop, we would have crew coming and going, and the paperwork necessary was very time consuming. There were some fines assessed, and one couple had to buy an airline ticket that they had no intention to use just to allow them to land. They were not going to allow them to land without a means to get off the island. So we were surprised and unprepared for how that has changed through the Pacific.
There was a couple other moments throughout the course of this series, one of which was when you guys were crossing over the Panama Canal. It seemed like that was kind of a stressful moment. We have a clip here. We're going to play that for a second.
We're in the first lock right now. We're behind a boat called the Pacific Reefer. It's probably a 800-foot freighter. And we have a small yacht on either side of us, so we're the middle boat. And let me say, it is hectic. We are driving for all three boats, and we're the middle boat, and it is, we are as wide as we are long right now. We have about 20 feet on either side of the boat, and but anyway, we're locking up right now.
Swung out.
I'm going to go that way
now,
then.
Reverse. Everybody reverse.
So the gate stuck open and we're not able to move into the lock. So it's a little bit exciting at the moment.
Everybody reverse.
All three boats rafted together trying to quickly reverse back out of the lock.
I get sometimes very stressed out just trying to parallel park in a city. Was that as stressful as that sounded, trying to navigate through the Panama Canal in a sailboat?
Yeah, in that particular instance, we had two boats on either side. We had very little clearance, a jagged, you know, rough concrete wall on either side. And the owners and the crew of the other boats are depending on us not to use them as a fender. We would have literally smeared a $500,000 boat into the concrete wall if we had made a mistake, and then the pilot has us going full ahead and in thinking that the lock is going to open like it always does, and then it doesn't open, and you heard what went on where we all had to stop, and in that case I was the only one with the engines and using them, and then he had all three boats using their engines to stop because we had so much momentum. And of course, our engines can't stop three boats. It takes us a few boat lengths to stop ourselves, but when we have a boat on either side, and of course they're different, so our hydrodynamics are different. We have to actually crab sideways through there because the boat on one side has a lot more drag than the boat on the other. So just listening to it, you know, gets me going again.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City and 88.5 in Washington. I'm your host, Brian Russo. We're talking with Jessica and Richard Johnson of Oxford, Maryland. For the past year, we have been following their trip around the world with their two daughters aboard their catamaran, Elsie. We're also joined by Coastal Connection's managing producer, Tara Boyle. Jessica, one of my favorite things about this series was the fact that we got to meet a lot of people through your journey, people from that, you know, otherwise we would have never heard from on this program. One in particular was the gentleman who was working to save turtles on the island of Bekwe. We have a clip here.
My name is Orton King. My Bekwe nickname is Brother King. I was born in Bekwe. Now I'm 74 years. I am at Park Bay in Bekwe. Bekwe is a part of the Grenadines of St. Vincent in the Caribbean. And I am here as a retired diving fisherman to save the hawksbill turtle. The hawksbill turtle was caught for its shell before plastic was invented, and it was caught for many, many years. It is going extinct because of overfishing, and I'm trying my best to try and bring back some by getting babies on the beaches.
How did people respond when you stuck a microphone in their face, when you were out traveling the world, and I'm sure you just kind of happened up to somebody and said, hey, I would like to ask you some questions. Were they hesitant or reluctant at all?
Fortunately, I had met Brother King 15 years earlier when we were in Bekwe another time, and we had helped release 27 hawksbill turtles that he had raised. So we already had a little bit of a relationship, which was really nice because I was able to go back, and it was a nice reunion to get to see him again. Other times it was challenging because we were moving quickly through an area, and I did feel like it helped to have a couple of days to sort of cultivate a relationship with someone before I could feel brave enough myself to ask them to do an interview. I did find that going to a tourism office was always easy, because I think people in tourism office, they're used to having people ask questions. But we really enjoyed the experience because it got us out meeting very interesting people. I tried to get the girls involved. I know when we were in Samoa, we interviewed a young man about his tattoos, mm-hmm. and they were just completely wrapped, you know, by the conversation with him, and asked him almost all the questions. So that was just a really special experience that I know that the girls will remember. So sometimes I had to just, you know, take a deep breath and just plow ahead and go do it. Mm-hmm. But I think it was really rewarding in the end.
I'm curious too, as you said, you took crew on through each leg of this journey. And I imagine that must have been interesting, having new people constantly coming on board, Elsie. How was that? Were most of them skilled sailors, or were some of them kind of novices?
Most of them had some sailing experience. Not everyone had been offshore before, and almost every leg we did had an offshore component. So they weren't sort of accustomed to standing watches at night or navigating at sea. But for the most part, they knew what they were getting into. I think our website, which we use to attract people to the boat, pretty clearly spells out what it's going to be like, because we don't want anyone to have surprises once they get to the boat. And we were so lucky. We had really great crew all along, some from the States. We had a couple from Estonia sailed with us, and that we learned so much about them and their country. We've had Australians. We've had now we're starting to have more people from New Zealand now that we're in the Pacific. But overall, it's been a really good experience having just people come on and help us out.
Is it at all strange to have Elsie so far away? I mean, it was your home for this past year, and now it's thousands of miles away. Is that a little bizarre?
It is a bit strange, and we've left our cat there. We have a kitty cat, sailing cat, that we've left on board. So we had friends come up from New Zealand to cat sit while we're gone, and we've been in touch with them. So it is a bit odd to leave the boat for that amount of time. Yeah,
and I've woken up a couple times and wondered, you know, where's the wind coming from? Which way are we sitting? And get up and realize that, oh, we're not in Fiji anymore, or New Zealand.
Is that depressing?
Yeah, I miss the boat, and looking forward to getting back to it.
Yeah, I am too. I am really looking forward to getting back. It's just, I don't know, something about waking up and being surrounded by water and having the opportunities to jump over and have a swim. And like I say, our life is just seems so much more pared down and sensible in a way when we're there without going 100 different directions that we are here.
Well, Richard and Jessica Johnson, first of all, I want to thank you both for taking us and the listeners on this journey around the world. I've never been to New Zealand, but now I feel as though I've made some really interesting stops along the way. We're going to close out by playing some of our favorite clips from the past year. So, Richard and Jessica Johnson, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for giving us a chance to do this.
And all of this series was edited by our managing producer, Tara Boyle. So you'll be hearing her work on this. And it's always nice to have you sitting in on one of these interviews.
Yeah, it's fun.
So these are some of our favorite moments from the LC Diaries series. To hear any and all of these pieces, you can click to our website, wamucoast.org.
Hi, we've just gotten to Beaufort, North Carolina. It's about 4 a.m., and we're about 12 miles north of the Virgin Islands.
Somewhere around here are the petroglyphs, if we look around. Oh, I think
right
I see
here.
Them. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's right there! Oh, it's right there! This is so cool!
I wish I lived here.
We're sailing south towards Dominica right now.
So we're just arriving in Grenada. We're sailing along the south coast.
And then you blend it and you put your crochets in it and your milk, your essence, and you're good to go.
Somebody told me that's good for the men.
That's good for the men.
We have planned stops in Bonaire and in Cartagena.
Here in San Cristobal, there are so many sea lions that they'll get in your dinghy, they come up onto your boat, they're all over the beach, or even walking down the street in town. Let's see if he has anything to say.
Shoo!
He really doesn't want to leave. Oh! They're a bit aggressive sometimes.
Okay, LC, this is Cahiba relaying for the Magellan Pacific Net. Do you copy?
Cahiba, this is LC.
On a boat, it's usually considered bad luck to write down your destination in the logbook or even to mention it with a lot of conviction. So I'm just going to say that we are somewhere in the South Pacific and we're headed somewhere else in the South Pacific.
We've just arrived in French Polynesia after a short overnight or two overnight trip from Pitcairn Island.
So we're still in the Cook Islands and we're underway and we're actually looking for Palmerston Island.
A group of humpback whales has just come into the harbor.
Did you just hear that fine specimen of humpback whales?
So there's a unique culture behind us that goes back 1,000 years, and even though the missionaries landed and they tried to change some of the things, but still to this day, our culture is very much intact and alive.
It's time for us to get Elsie ready to head on to Fiji. So today we'll be provisioning and taking on water and getting ready to go.